Let us turn to Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass that as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about the time that Joseph went in to the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled out, or fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him up. And she laid up his garment by her until her Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. And we just look to the Lord to bless his word and bless that which he has laid on our hearts today. And we're going to see Joseph with God in control. And we think of this coronavirus, and there's many going through difficulties and problems. Maybe not like Joseph, but there's those that are out of work. They have house payments to make. They have other payments to make and no money coming in. There's those that, like our son Steve, that has his own business, and there's those that are losing their business. And yet, remember, God is in control. This coronavirus, you know, it just didn't come by mistake. We read in the Old Testament that as God dealt with a tribe, he sometimes deal with a tribe, other times he deal with a whole nation. But with this coronavirus, he's dealing with the whole world. We are two nations, that Canada and U.S., that we're founded on the Word of God, and we have turned our backs to God. Brother Gaius Goff mentioned not too long ago that there's in the States there is 1 to 5 that would go to church. I got thinking about that, and we live in a little cul-de-sac here, and there's 12 homes in this cul-de-sac, and I think that we're the only ones that go to church on Sunday. So God is trying to get our attention, no doubt. So we see Joseph with God in control, and then we're going to see him go from the pit to the palace. And as we think of the course that God has set him on, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says there, let us run with patience. And the thought there is with cheerful endurance. The race that is set before us. We are all in a race. And sometimes in the race, we ask the question, why do these things have to happen to me? How come? Well, I trust that we'll get some answers tonight as we look at the life of Joseph. Remember, not only are we in the race, but God has pre-planned this race for us. God, our Father, he loves us, but he has pre-planned this race for each one of us. So we're going to see, as we look at the life of Joseph, that God is sovereign. He's over all. God is faithful. We can trust him. He will never let us down. And God is a developer, not real estate. He leaves that to others. But God is a developer of character. The trials and the testings that Joseph went through and that you and I go through are all there sent from God. They're meant to strengthen us, to build up our faith, and to draw us closer to God, building up our character. So we need to ask the question as we think of that, if this is the case, are we pliable? We think of the potter and the clay and how the potter could take the clay and form it just how he'd like to. And so, are we pliable? And if so, to whom are we pliable? Or to what are we pliable? We need to maybe check our spiritual status and how are we doing being pliable in the hands of God. I would trust that we'd all be able to say, as we came to the end of life, as the Apostle Paul, he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. We see that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and he was approximately 17 years old, just a young lad. He was hated by his brothers. They were jealous. If we speak in New Testament terms, they were carnally minded. They showed the works of the flesh. And as we think of Joseph, not so with him. We always see the fruit of the Spirit in the life of Joseph. They plotted to kill him. But God always held his servant there when he needs him. And it was Reuben that came to the rescue and saved Joseph at that time. It was not the right timing for Joseph to be taken out of the picture. Then they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And that's the price of a dead slave. That was the value that they put on their brother. However, some would ask, well, why would anybody want to buy a dead slave for 20 pieces of silver? But it is not that idea. The idea is that if you had an ox and your oxen killed your another man's slave, then you would have to pay him 20 pieces of silver for that slave that was killed. A little later on, this was changed to 30 pieces of silver in Exodus 21 and 32. And so that reminds us of what Judas sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And as we follow Joseph, he's brought into the land of idolatry, truly, totally opposite to what he was brought up. And here is a young lad all alone. And you wonder how he makes it. But verse 2 tells us, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, we know the rest of the story. But if some of you were to lose your home at this time because you weren't able to make your payments, we don't know how long this thing is going to be, but just saying that some of you lost your home. And I come up to you and said, the Lord is with you. You know, that's hard to take. That's hard to take that in. And so the first time I read that, the Lord was with Joseph. I said, how? Look at, he was just hated by his brethren and sold by his brethren. And here he is down in a foreign country, all alone. How is the Lord with Joseph? Well, the scriptures tell us, but be encouraged. You're going through a trial, through a difficult time, or maybe you can look back in your life where you've gone through some of those times. And you look back and see that, yes, God was with us. God is sovereign. He is over all, and we must trust him. We think of Jacob as he sent Joseph to see how his brethren were doing. Little did Jacob know that it'd be years before he saw him again. We're never sure about the future, but it was all in God's divine will. God uses the wicked as well as the righteous to work out his purposes. In Acts 2 and 23, we read that him, that is Jesus, being delivered by the determined purposes and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and put to death. God's will always be done. God needed a servant in Egypt, and he brought Joseph to Egypt. God needed a servant in Babylon, and as a result of a war, Daniel was brought to Babylon. God needed a servant for salvation, and God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. God is sovereign. Then when we see Joseph come into Egypt, Joseph is brought to the slave market. And he's put up for sale. Of course, the Ishmaelites want to sell him and try to make some money off him. And so he was brought into Pharaoh's household. Now, what's so important about this? Have you thought about that? Here is Joseph, and he was sold. He's brought to Egypt. He's put on the slave market, and he's brought by Pharaoh's household. You know, at a slave market, there will be many slave buyers. Many will be bidding for them, but providence. But God is in control, and God saw to it that he was brought by Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh. That's where God wanted him, and God saw to it that that is where he ended up. Lamentations 3 and 24 would remind us that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God is always there for us. Then we see that God is faithful. In verse 2, we read again that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord has promised us to never leave us nor forsake us. Again, if we have that in our hearts and minds that God is always with us, he would remind us in Proverbs 3 and 5 to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So you may be going through tribulations like Joseph, but remember, God said, you trust me. I laid out your race course for you, and I laid it out in love. I'm here. Trust me. In the circumstances that Joseph was in, he had every right to be discouraged, every right to be downhearted, and yet we never read that he was ever in that condition. He never complained. He never murmured. He never spoke evil of his brother. And he would have had the opportunity. I am sure that when he was in jail, or wherever he might have been, that people would have asked him, what are you doing here? How did you get here? And so they'd want to know. And we'd never read that he complained about his brethren or ever told anybody what his brethren had done. How are we doing? Do we ever complain about our brethren? Do we ever get upset with them? And here's a young man, only 17, in touch with his God and living for his God. And he shows us how we are to be living day by day. Truly, he is that picture and type of Christ. It was in verse 3, it says that his master saw that the Lord was with him and prospered him. Master saw. What did the master see? He saw his testimony. And no doubt, he and his master would have got talking about their religions and what they did, where Joseph came from and so forth. And Joseph must have taken the opportunity to tell him. What would his master know about the Lord God of heaven? He only knew about idols. But Joseph had to be, from this we would think that Joseph was very faithful to God, would tell others about his God, and his very life would show that he had somebody over him and watching for him. So his master saw. And as I think about it, you know, if we're at work or our neighbors around us, what do they see in us? Do they see the grace of God, the love of God, the wonders of God? Do they see that and hear that enough? Do we take the opportunity to witness to them when the opportunity arrives? I don't mean to preach at them, but just to share with them the wonders of God. His testimony was great. And then in verse 4, we read that Joseph found grace in his master's sight. God is faithful. God saw to it, but on the other hand, probably Joseph's life as well gave him favor in his master's sight. There's a verse that I think of when my brother and I were younger, and we'd go out Friday night to wintertime, we go down the road a little bit to the next town, and we go ice skating Friday night, and you go out for a hamburger, whatever. But often when we would leave the house, our mother would say, boys, you honor God, and God will honor you. She'd also say sometimes, remember whose you are. And she didn't mean that we were hers, but we were God's. Remember, boys, who you are. And I've often heard Mom quote this verse. And the verse is in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. But remember this. They that honor me, I will honor. We see in verses 5 and 6 that he was made supervisor. He was still a slave, but he was made supervisor. Potiphar trusted Joseph and left everything to his care. And that is a wonderful thing for an individual at their work, that people can trust them, their bosses can trust them, and know that everything will be well, leaving it with them. Then we come into verse 7. We come into a new set of circumstances. More trials, more temptations. Now, being tempted, I don't know, but I can say that probably throughout any day we'll be tempted more than once. Tempted to do what is wrong. Being tempted is not the sin, but it's when you fall into it. That's a sin. Number of times we read here in this chapter we read, and it came to pass. 8 times, and it came to pass. And it seems like probably it was God's blueprint for Joseph's life and for our life as well. There are things that are going to come to pass, whether good or bad, they're going to come to pass. Joseph was, I use the word stalked, by the wicked. At first, he may not have been aware of it, but we read that Potiphar's wife, now isn't it interesting that God doesn't give us her name, just Potiphar's wife. She was a dangerous tool of Satan, a tool that Satan would hope to use. Verse 6, we read, Joseph was a goodly person, and really another version of that would be, he was very handsome. He was a good-looking guy. And Potiphar's wife had good eyes, I guess, and she saw that he was a good-looking fellow. And it says that she cast her eyes upon him. Lustful desires. And we can learn much about this woman as well, or from this woman. Coming into the New Testament again, in 1 John 2 and 16, we read, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see here one, even though it wasn't known back then, but we see the truth of the lust of the eyes. She looked and she wanted. And I can't help but think, and I'm sure that in her heart, she knew it was wrong. But we read a little bit later that her husband was gone. Now, she looked at him over a period of time, and she lusted after him over a period of time. She allowed herself to burn with passion. And we need to be careful as believers. That doesn't mean that we're not going to look at a woman and look at her with a desire. But when that happens, we need to just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, preserve me. Keep my mind straight and clear. But she didn't, of course, she didn't know that. But we learned from her that she allowed herself to burn with passion. Be very careful. Lie with me, she kept saying to Joseph. You ever been in this situation? Or maybe somebody has lustful eyes for you. What do you do? You know, we're weak, but he is strong. We need to know what it is to turn to the Lord. Cry to the Lord to get you out of this situation. Verse 8. We see that Joseph refused. James chapter 4 and verse 7 said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee for you. And so we see Joseph's action and reaction. Joseph was teaching Potiphar's wife his life, what he has been taught, what he lives, and who he really is. He says to her, first thing, my master has trusted me for everything that he has. Joseph proved himself to be trustworthy. And in a split second, he could lose all that trustworthiness that was built up over time. We can lose it so fast by a wrong move, by a wrong action, even sometimes by a wrong word. So the first thing he says to her is, listen, my master has left everything with me. He has trusted me. Number two, you are his wife. And number three, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So interesting how he stood up to her, and he really took the feet out from underneath her, but she wasn't going to give up. So what was another way of preserving him if we had again for you and I? In 1 Timothy 1:5, Paul says that our actions and reactions should be love for God from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. So one thing we see that preserved Joseph was that he had a pure heart, he had a good conscience, and he had sincere faith. And we read a little later on there in James or in Timothy, verse 19, it says, about those that having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Some have put it to the side because it was getting in the way of what they wanted. And they, concerning the faith, they counted as nothing and had shipwreck. So we need to walk close with God. Start the day off with God. God knows what's in our day ahead of us. He knows every step. We don't. And because he knows, he wants us to start the day off with him. I remember in Calgary, I was working at real estate for a while, and our manager was a Christian fellow. At one of our meetings early in the morning, he said, I'm just going to share with you guys how I start my day. Because when I lay in there in bed and I wake up, I look up and I say, good morning, God. I'm glad that I am yours, and I'm glad that you're over my life today. I thought, wow. And I never forgot that years ago back in Calgary. But what a way to begin the day. Why do we need to begin the day that way? Our nations, our surroundings, are going down and down and down fast. In our free will society, moral standards have in large been abandoned. Premarital sex is accepted as a norm, not only in the world, but sometimes amongst the Christianity as well. Couples live together and are not married. Prostitution is legalized in certain areas. Homosexuality has become accepted, an accepted alternative lifestyle. No wonder we need to start the day with God and know the guidance of the Lord and the guidance of his word. And you that are younger, get his word into your heart. Memorize those scriptures when you're young and keep them in your heart as you go from day to day. Verse 10, we see that Joseph is in a fierce warfare. The New Testament, it would be the fiery darts of Satan that he was under. Day by day, we read, day by day, she was after Joseph. You know, Satan doesn't give up very easy. No, day by day, she was not about to give up. I have to tell you, with embarrassment, I was doing over in Tri-Cities when the weather wasn't so good, but it would clear up quite often. I was trying to do and get out and do seat sewing, and at the same time get new contacts. And I was doing pretty good until one morning after breakfast, I look out the window and it's raining pretty good. And thought, do I go or don't I go? And I gave in to the rain and I didn't go. It was interesting that I heard of a man that was, I read about a man that was doing similar. He's out going door to door and sharing the gospel with others, bringing Christ to the doors of others. And he knocked on this door. And I can't just remember if it was a man or a woman that came down and answered the door. But the moral of the story was that the person that came down to answer the door was ready to commit suicide at that moment. And when the knock came on the door, they thought about it and went down and answered the door. And that man that came to the door, it was a rainy day. And it wasn't too long after that I said, no, it's too rainy. I thought, wow. We need to just make sure that it's okay not to stay home and not to go out. But I felt the Lord brought that story before me just to remind us that, you know, there's a work that needs to be done. And I've gone hunting when it's raining. I've gone fishing when it's raining. So I should have been able to go out, knock, or hand out sea swords while it was raining. Satan doesn't give up very easy. And again, as we begin the day with God, we maybe have the more strength and courage to serve him in difficult times. What was Joseph's defense? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Run from it. Flee from it. Flee the devil. Verse 11. Joseph was not careful. Now, I'm not here to criticize Joseph, but that was the difficulty. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read that these things are written for our learning. So what can we learn from Joseph as to what he did that day as he was about his business? We read that verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and there was none of the men of the house therein. Joseph maybe never thought about it. He was at his work on his mind. He'd come in, he's got to get his paperwork done. But he was alone and no witness. We need to be careful at all times. I think of Billy Graham. He said that he was always careful never to be alone with another woman. No matter the circumstances, he was always careful that he was not alone with another woman. Verse 12. Joseph fled. The man of faith and obedience did exactly what he should have. He fled. He left. His walk with God preserved him. The race, the course that God had planned out for him took him down. More jail time. More trials. And I'm sure Joseph never questioned You know, here he is looking after, he's the head of his master's home. And all of a sudden, down he goes, back to jail. We never read that he was disappointed. We never read that he complained. But what we do read is that the person that was over the jail at that time picked up on him. He watched him for a while. He saw what kind of a man he was. And no doubt they haven't seen too many like the man Joseph. And he put him in charge of the jail and all that were in the jail. And he didn't even have to think. He had peace of mind. Now, that's a great thing. For a man that's over the jail and all the inmates, to say to a young fella, hey, I'm leaving it all with you. What a testimony. How is our testimony? How would we do in a time like this? We can learn so much from the man of faith, the man of obedience, the man who loved his Lord. So verse 21 is the course that God put him on because God needed a man in Egypt. That course, again, brought him down into the jail. But we read, but the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was still with Joseph. The Lord will always be with Joseph and you and I. But the Lord was with Joseph. So as we think of Joseph's race, his course that he was on, you think you and I would have chosen that course? Say, well, give it to me, Lord. I'll take it. Well, I don't know. Maybe Joseph wouldn't have neither. But Joseph accepted the course from God, his love for God, his obedience for God. I mean, the man went through so much from a child, a young teenager, to be hated of his brethren. They wanted to kill him. They sold him. And God was with him. And one day we know that Joseph sat over Egypt. What a place for God to bring his servant. So can we trust God with our life circumstances? Can we trust God with the course that he has put us on? You know, there's sometimes that we don't, then we kind of get off course. But God is always there to guide us and bring us back on. That's one thing we can be thankful about God. He doesn't give up on us. When we sometimes do it our way, and we find out later is wrong, that God has been working with us. God, such a God of love. Sometimes he uses other believers to come along and encourage us. Sometimes he uses his word or different circumstances in life, but he will always bring us back. Remember, God has laid out our course. So can we trust him? Remember, God is sovereign. He's faithful. Not only that, we're not alone. You think of different ones that are in the mission field, and they're out there alone. Some are working with others, and some are just out on their own. We'll never see another fellow missionary for a year or so. But God is with them. They're not alone. Paul again would remind us, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're not alone. There's two, God and I. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have his word. We have the power of prayer and the fellowship of fellow believers. What privileged people we are. Thank you very much. We trust that we've learned and trust that has been a challenge to us.
Thank you, Brian.